Well, we're lucky to have so many good people that do write in the newspapers and also are very good on the radio and can join us, and that would include Caitlin Buss. Caitlin is assistant editorial page editor for the Detroit News, and she wrote a story last week that appeared in the paper on Friday. We didn't have room last Friday going into the NFL draft and everything that was going on there, but we said if we can't do it Friday because we're so busy, you know, starting with the draft Thursday, blah, 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 would you come on Monday? And thankfully, she said yes. Caitlin, always a pleasure to speak with you, and I always enjoy your thoughtful writing, including what you wrote Friday under the headline, Title IX Expansion, A True Threat to Democracy. Good afternoon, Caitlin.
Good afternoon, Paul. Always appreciate being on with you.
In your column, you say, the very statute designed to protect women can now be used against them. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. No one's asked you lately to do. Give us a very short description of what Title IX was set up for and why, and then explain why it's now being used to hurt women, in my opinion, when I read this.
Yeah, that's a good entrance. You know, Title IX is a regulatory, list of rules that kind of has set the parameters for educational institutions in the United States, you know, receiving federal funding. So there's, you know, a variety of mechanisms throughout, you know, other parts of that bill, but Title IX, addresses college campuses, you know, other K-12 institutions, and, you know, specifically the idea of sexual harassment, sexual assault, some of these interrelational struggles that can happen on campus. In the 70s, it was developed, you know, under Betsy DeVos, who was the Secretary of Education under Donald Trump. She kind of narrowed some of those specifications to make, cross-examination possible, to bring in some of these, you know, criminal justice elements into the rulemaking procedure. But under Biden, obviously now we're going back and kind of expanding that. What Biden has done through his education secretary is say, if you're trans or you're identifying as a different gender, basically the established rules don't necessarily have to apply to you. You can, be subject to whichever gender you're identifying as at that particular moment in time. But given how the law is set up or the rules, gender is a huge part of it. So you're kind of upending the entire philosophy of that particular part of the funding bill.
And so now we have a situation where if you don't buy in to the whole transgender affirming language and action, you can get in trouble. Meaning if you're a woman and you would like to go into the woman's locker room and feel safe, when a man walks in and takes his clothes off and is still intact with a penis, you can't complain. He's doing nothing wrong, according to this expansion of Title IX, which is unbelievable.
Right. I mean, some of it's uncomfortable to talk about. I don't deny that. And it's uncomfortable to even write about. But I think that points to the fact that we're dealing with such, you know, intimate situations, and to do a broad, you know, stroke across how women are supposed to respond to this, or necessarily how men are supposed to respond as well. I mean, you know, it really takes back a lot of due process rights for men. And like I said, just upending kind of some of the norms that are, you know, underneath some of these laws. Some of these things are just true, you know, whether or not you want to say they're true. The law also, you know, goes beyond bathrooms. It goes to, it could have the potential to allow transgender individuals to compete in sports, you know, not of the gender they were born as. So there's a potential for a ton of things to happen as a result of this rule being finalized. Now, interestingly, they don't want to enforce it until August. I think the idea is there's going to be some pushback probably, you know, right away. But that wouldn't give much time before the election to really get, you know, a decision one way or another on this rule, which a lot of people are going to have opinions about.
You know, so that people don't misunderstand, I don't care how somebody identifies. They can say,
right,
if it's a man and they say they're a woman, okay, that's great. If you're a woman and you say you're a man, whatever you want. However, it's the same thing I used to say about cigarette smoke. Yeah, you have a right to smoke cigarettes, but your right ends at the tip of my nose. when the smoke is coming into my nose and I don't want it, your right ends. Well, your rights end when you infringe on our rights. And let's not forget that we have certain rights. And the rights go back to going into the locker room and feeling safe, going into a women's restroom or a men's restroom and feeling safe. And by doing that, we're not hurting anybody. We're not, look, you want to be a woman? Go for it. But don't bring your penis into the women's restroom, period. I know this sounds ridiculous, but it's true.
It's true. And you know, this is such an inflammatory debate, and it just is. But at the same time, it's not a new problem. You know, we have rights of the majority. We have rights of minorities. And, you know, we're supposed to figure out how to protect the rights of all of those people. And what you have here is you have new classes of victims. You know, you have transgender individuals who feel victimized, but then you also have, you know, women and men who feel like their equal protection, their privacy rights, their speech rights are being curtailed. So, you know, where's the majority? Where's the minority here? You know, we have to protect both, honestly. And this is not a new problem in American politics, but it's so inflammatory, it's hard to get to that.
Real quick, as a fine graduate with honors from Hillsdale College, Caitlin Buss, you're one of the youngest people I'm talking to. You weren't in college that long ago. Coming up, I don't think it's been that long ago.
It's been a while.
All right. So apparently you're older than you look. But 17 minutes from now at Columbia, for example, students are told if they do not leave by 2 o'clock this afternoon, they are going to have all kinds of punishment. I fear that none of them will be punished. I fear that the amnesty they're asking for will be granted because they haven't been held accountable even for their coming bills due for going to college. What do you think?
I sadly agree with you, and I think it's a real shame, you know, that these institutions can't honor, again, the majority of individuals who worked really hard and give them the services and the ceremonies they deserve.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Caitlin Buss. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul.
Caitlin Buss, assistant editorial page editor for the Detroit News, and my boss on my column, which runs today, Mondays. I hope you'll look it up. It's all about the NFL draft and how spectacular it was and everybody that did such a great job on it. And that includes you as the Goodwill Ambassadors to welcome all the people that came to our community. And then we move on from this to what will be the most successful Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix, presented by Lear, Race God and the team at Team Lear. And I'm a part of the team, Team Lear. That's next, and it's going to be bigger and better than ever with the doors open because of the great job by so many for this NFL draft. Chris Renwick coming up. We haven't talked to Chris in a while, and we're going to do that next here in Focus at WJR.